a diverse group of great, if marginalized, thinkers, some compassionate, some outraged, some spiritually motivated, and some who were simply wise observers, have addressed the interlinked problems of community scale and self-determination, of land ownership and the creation of money, of locating social justice and a common prosperity. They have regarded nationalism as a scourge, seeing that excessive size in countries or institutions or polities bespeaks aggression. Out of their convictions that people can and will take care of themselves and their neighbors when cultural and economic forms encourage such face-to-face responsibility, a philosophy has emerged. Call it decentralism, local self-reliance, or mutual aid. This book concerns one of those decentralists, Bob Swan. A pioneer of community economics, Bob Swan, 1918 to 2003, was also a peace activist. Swan was not a revolutionary, nor was he particularly or merely political. He was a true radical. Swan's vision emerged in the 20th century when the human enterprise had created pockets of cozy prosperity and allowed outbreaks of liberation, but also had generated nightmares of total war. Swan's life work, critically informed by the American experience of the 1930s and 1940s and by Gandhi's philosophy and methods, always sought the root of any problem. The locality, town, city, neighborhood, and region was, as Swan and all decentralists understood, the nexus of the common weal. Accordingly, Swan focused on empowering individuals and communities through the creation of small-scale self-help institutions. Swan forged tools to build productive, resilient, local and regional economies. From the tutelage in philosophy and literature he received as an adolescent from a Lutheran pastor in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, to the classes he audited at Ohio State University, to the reading he did while he was in prison for draft resistance, right on up to the articles on novel energy sources on his desk in 2001, Bob's intellectual activity was constant. If this book is more about the ideas than the man, it's because Bob lived his ideas. Although he didn't lack insight or empathy, he was not interested overmuch in the depths of anyone's psychology or personality, not even his own. Without simply recapitulating it, On Gandhi's Path follows, amplifies, and adds detail to the story Bob tells in his own autobiography, Peace, Civil Rights, and the Search for Community. To do this, I chose to rely primarily on written and published sources. Although the annals of Bob's times engrossed me and the historical impulse took hold, I have written as a journalist rather than as an historian or economist. An exhaustive biography would have been beyond both my knowledge and the assignment. Because I too am a species of decentralist, my appreciation of Swan's work will be obvious. A visionary for his time and ours, Bob Swan was articulate, creative, prolific, and, for decades of his life, right in the thick of historic social movements. To try with any number of words to do justice to such a person's life is humbling. Perhaps the difficulty of selecting the most salient aspects of such an engaged life is just the biographical version of the agony of art. The work will always fall short of full portraiture. On Gandhi's Path begins with a consideration of community economics, for that is the field where Bob Swan did his most useful work. Just past the midpoint in his life, Swan discovered his aptitude and passion for economic reform. His decentralism was cardinal. Without cant or exhortation, Swan improved the morality by recalibrating the optimum scale of various economic endeavors. Now, as global industrial civilization flails in the throes of an ecological and economic crisis, Swan's working innovations are at the ready to help neighborhoods, local entrepreneurs, and willing communities with an ethic of mutual aid to rebuild at appropriate scales. Bob Swan was born comfortably middle class in 1918. The first chapter of this book outlines his early years. Precociously independent, he clashed with his father early on. Regardless, he enjoyed his childhood in a convivial neighborhood next to a woodland that afforded a freedom just right for kids. The Swan family was affected by the Great Depression, but nobody starved. Straitened circumstances meant that Bob wound up living like a bohemian while he audited classes at Ohio State University. It was there, as America's entry into World War II drew nigh, that he decided to resist the draft. His absolutism led to a stint in prison and to decades of peace activism thereafter.